Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Jim Hoffman here for EMS Office Hours. I'm going to see how this episode goes because this is sort of an impromptu show that I wanted to kind of put together this Sunday afternoon. We'll see if I can get some callers to interact, and that, of course, is going to dictate how long or short this episode goes. I put this out on Facebook and a couple other social media sites as well, sent out an email to my membership to let them know the show was going on. Of course, if you want to call in, you can do it toll-free. The number is 877-217-3924, and that's a toll-free number. You can call in and speak with me about today's topic. Of course, you can also check us out on Twitter. It's at EMS Safe over on Twitter. And the Facebook page for the EMS Office Hours show is facebook.com/EMS Office Hours. So I don't have my usual co-host with me today because, like I said, this is sort of a on-the-fly kind of show that I put together. I thought, because I saw this article over actually on Facebook where they talked about this situation that went on in New York with a couple of fire department paramedics. I'm going to read some of the article here just to kind of give you a little idea of what we're talking about. In the meantime, again, if you want to call in, you can do that. The number is 877-217-3924. And I think when you look at the article and you read the article, it kind of rings a few bells for me. And I kind of want to get maybe some feedback, if we can, from the listeners on this. Even if you listen to the recorded version of this, be sure to let me know what you feel as far as the commentary or what you feel about the article. Now, the article talks about these two medics and pretty much the same title that I have in today's episode, talking about, well, what did they make a compassionate decision, these two medics, or did they sort of do something more criminal by faking the ambulance call report, okay? And this is revolving around a patient who died. They supposedly had a DNR, but the family couldn't locate it, okay? So they get on scene. According to the article here, the guy was 71 years old. He had Lou Gehrig's disease, and they sympathized with the family because they said they had the DNR order, but they couldn't produce it, right? Now, many of us know that if you don't have the physical DNR or the MOLS form in your hand explaining the patient's wishes and signed by a doctor appropriately, then you're supposed to go ahead and resuscitate, and you can't honor the do not resuscitate orders, right? So they did not do that. Now, on top of that, of course, there was already EMTs on scene who were doing CPR already because they couldn't get the DNR either. And, of course, it's another issue where once the CPR was started, you're not really supposed to stop it, you know, without the doc's approval or without getting something like a DNR showing or obvious signs of death, things like that. Now, the guy's wife was upset, of course, because what's going on, and he did had a DNR and couldn't you know, produce it. So what these medics did apparently is that they went ahead and on the call report they said they did it. They went ahead and dropped it in the tracheal tube, that they gave some an IV. They gave IV medications, but they actually didn't do any of that. Okay. Now apparently the criminal complaint against these medics, it doesn't say in the article who made the complaint. My question is, if the family didn't want the patient to be resuscitated, are they the ones that complained, or is it maybe the EMTs that complained because they were doing CPR and the medic said stop doing CPR and then didn't do anything and then pronounced the guy. And then now they, you know, they went and complained. The lieutenant went ahead and reviewed the report, and now the report says that they did treatment, right? So I'm finding it kind of hard to see here in the article who made this complaint, right? Because to me, you know, did the EMTs make the complaint because they were pissed off because they were doing CPR and they were told by the medics to stop? Did the family make the complaint because possibly maybe they got a bill for treatment that never happened, right? They get a bill for treatment and they're, wait a second, these guys never did anything. I'm going to go ahead and complain about this. I don't know, right? Not a lot of information in the article when it comes to that, right? Now, supposedly one supervisor came on scene as well, reviewed the paperwork and ended up realizing that, like, again, that they said they did treatment and there was never any treatment, seen. Now, apparently, you know, the supervisor had to report this because he could face, of course, charges on his own if he goes ahead and doesn't say anything regarding the non-treatment that was documented, right? Now, the family didn't make any comment on it. You know, to me, guys, this is the type of thing that it's not really, well, depending on what you're talking to, some people might say this is really black and white, right? No DNR, you do CPR, your temporal resuscitation, right? But a lot of people, especially if you've been doing this for a while and you're encountered in these types of situations, you end up treating it more as a gray line, right? These guys, these two medics now, they're charged with first and second degree, charges now for false instrument, falsifying business records, and things like that, right? Now, apparently this is like a class E felony, and they can get the 4 years in prison if they're convicted of this. I mean, I don't understand. You know, this is, they were arraigned, and I just don't get this whole thing. Now, I understand maybe they were wrong. Maybe there should be some training situation going on here. I'm wondering if the DNR ever was actually produced at some point by the family. You know, they're charging these guys, right? So why not go ahead and get that DNR produced to see where the charges should lay, how serious they can be, right? Now, yes, they falsified the document. Yes, they didn't do CPR, but was there a DNR sitting there to begin with? Very hard, I think, for a lot of us in EMS, in this case, you know, you can very easily be a sort of like a Monday morning quarterback on this, right? And say, well, I would have started CPR because it was already being done. What's the big deal? You work the patient for 20 minutes, and then you tell the family, I'm sorry, this is what we have to do, and then you pronounce it, right? Another thing that I guess these guys could have done as well, and something that I've done in the past, you get a kind of a sticky situation like this, right? Call med control, right? Call telemetry, talk to the doctor, tell them what's going on, what you've got, what you see, what the family wants, and let the doctor sort of make that determination, right? I think most docs probably would have said they probably gave you pronouncement time, right? Rather than falsify the document. So these guys, you know, I understand where they're coming from. To me, I feel it probably was an issue of compassion more than a criminal thing going on here. And depending, to me, if they actually did get that DNR produced at some point, even if this investigation, right, they have this active investigation going on. I'm hoping one of the first things they're going to do is go to the family and say, hey, where's the DNR that you said you couldn't find? Did you ever find it? Or getting a hold of the doctor, and I'm sure the doctor must have a copy of this DNR as well, to say, hey, okay, yeah, they did have a valid DNR, but they really couldn't find it. To me, that happens, I think that the level of charges and what goes on with these two medics should be way different. You know, I mean, you read some of the comments on this article, guys. The article is going to be in the show notes here, so you can look at it yourself. But just some of the comments from just people here who are pretty much for the general public, You know, people say get a tattoo on your chest and nonsense like that. But people don't really realize that you know, what the guidelines are, what we're kind of boxed into when it comes to having a DNR. You know, some people can't believe that we're not allowed to take healthcare proxy paperwork. It's like, you know, people, like one person I said, it scares them to think that end-of-life provisions that they've made with their doctor and with their family would be denied because of wrong paperwork when the paramedics get there, right? It's kind of like this really, to me, you get a patient who's got this terminal disease and they're 71 years old, now you're in kind of in this gray area. Now, one thing I would say, too, is, and the comment that somebody made, which is, I mean, it can be a little far-fetched here, guys, but they talk about how the wife, maybe the wife wanted the guy gone, right? So she lies when they come and says she's got a DNR, but they really isn't, but she doesn't want them to work the guy up and, you know, to bring him back, you know. Now, on the flip side of this, too, we all know the likelihood of getting patients back and then being viable walking out of the hospital is pretty small, right? So it's not like they were going to do CPR and the guy said, oh, he's awake now, he's back to life, he's 71 with Lou Gehrig's disease, he's back to life, and he's living a perfect life now. No, it's going to be, you know, he's probably going to wind up in that nursing home someplace on a bunch of tubes and wires and never speak again, right? So this is where I go back to the whole thing with the, to me, these guys being more compassionate than anything else. You know, this is sort of, like I said, guys, really, to me, it's a gray area. Now, yes, on paper and in New York City protocols and guidelines, it's black and white, right? You know, they don't have a DNR, no obvious signs of death, you know, rigor mortis, lividity, all that good stuff. You start CPR, right? You do what you have to do, you know. But these guys, I guess, are feeling, well, we're gonna start work on this guy who's 71 years old with this terminal disease, and the family's upset. They don't want it done. They've got a DNR, but they can't produce it. You're in a really sticky, you know, situation here, right? A lot of people feel, too, yeah, these guys screwed up, and maybe they should get a slap on the wrist rather than a criminal investigation. I mean, I don't know. This is something, like I said, I was hoping to get some callers in on this. If you are listening, you want to give me a call and join the conversation, even just give me your kind of quick feedback, what your thoughts are, be sure to do that, guys. My number here is 877-217-3924. Jump on here with me. Let me know what you think on what we're talking about on this kind of quick special edition of the show. I know it's a Sunday afternoon. It's beautiful outside. Everybody's, you know, you're getting into the spring, summer sort of mentality. But I'm here bored. I saw this article. I didn't want this to sort of pass by and not make some comments about it. I was also wanted to mention, too, in the Facebook page over on Facebook, I posted this in the FDNY EMS group there, and a lot of people, you know, say this is kind of a little bit of both, right? It's a little bit of compassion and a little bit on the criminal side, because like I said, they did falsify those documents, right? They did to me, that's the biggest criminal thing right now, is that they falsified the documents, you know, that they said they did something that they didn't do. You know, that is where I think the criminal end of it goes in. The compassionate end of it, where they didn't do CPR because the guy supposedly had a DNR and all that good stuff, to me that's more compassionate. A lot of people in the Facebook page say the same thing. They feel it's a little bit of both, right? Some person even says, too, that a lot of times that they tell patients before they call, if they know they have a DNR, don't, you know, wait a few hours before calling. This way you have a reason not to do CPR legitimately, you know, lividity setting in, all that good stuff, and you have that going on. But you know, this is you know, something, and again, a lot of people on the Facebook page mentioned that maybe it's a billing issue. Maybe the family got some kind of a bill, and you know, they made a complaint when they got the bill because nothing was done, and now the court report gets pulled and gets looked at, and now it gets opened up into a big can of worms, right? So I don't know. You know, this again, guys. This is something very hard for me to play sort of like this Monday morning quarterback type thing. But it's I don't know, like I said, it's just something where I feel that we get our hands tied as providers when you make sort of a command decision based on what you see, right? Not everything that's chest pain is a STEMI. Not everything that comes in as a stroke call is a stroke. You have to get there on the scene as the provider, right, as a clinician, and make a decision. Now, I don't necessarily fault these medics for making that decision, right? Because they took everything in, and they felt they made a decision based upon the family, the patient's history, and all that stuff. But their wrong decision, of course, is putting stuff down in the call report that didn't happen. And that's, I think, where they kind of screwed themselves. I think they might have been able to probably avoid this and maybe got a small of a slap on the wrist had they not said they intimated the guy, that they gave drugs and all that stuff, right? That's where you go wrong, right, by doing things like that. Now, on a side note, one thing I don't get either, guys, if you read this this article that they put up about this is in the Staten Island Advance, and it was back in May 22nd, when this is actually originally put up there, okay? And pretty much says everything I've been talking about, right? But to me, what I don't get is the Staten Island Advance goes and puts these guys' names and their street address in here. Like they did some you know, crazy child abuse thing or something, or sexual. I don't get it. What is putting these two, you know, medics' home addresses in the newspaper going to accomplish? That's something that really kind of when I was reading the article, I was like, what the hell is going on here? Why would they put the person's, you know, these two medics put their home addresses in there? You know, what are they going to be, a big protest now in front of their houses? It's that they kind of latched on and just wanted to add an additional paragraph to the article. I rather would have seen who made the complaint rather than these guys', you know, home addresses. I would have rather seen who made the complaint about what they did. I don't know. So to me, that's just something that's kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit. You know, so I don't know. Union rep, of course, you know, mentioned that they and two medics have been charged, and they didn't act in an ill manner or out of personal gain, and they were driven by compassion to the patient who was terminally ill and his wife who was suffering watching the guy die. Okay. So accusing them, the investigation, again, it's about their deviation from the actual procedure. And somebody on Facebook had mentioned, too, that there's a policy in place for that. And there is. I mean, the CPR, you know, policy pretty much says, again, dependent lividity, rigor mortis, tissue composition, mortal injury, or a valid DNR, or most form is present. Okay. Terminal illness is not a contraindication. And that's where these guys went wrong, right? Because the guy's terminally ill and they took it upon themselves not to do CPR. Which, I think they could have gotten around it had they went and contacted Thornage. So, guys, I don't want to go on and on with this. This is kind of just my quick opinion on this, guys. I was hoping to get some callers. I guess it's Sunday afternoon, not getting a lot of interaction. If you want to call over the next few minutes, we can talk a little bit more about it. Again, the number is 877-217-3924. Before I close out, I want to go ahead and mention some updates over on the website. Particularly interesting to those members of mine who are FDNY medics or voluntary hospital medics. The practice exams that are there on the site are going to be are getting updated to be viewable on all devices to make it easier for you to do without having to have that Photon plugin to view it on your iPad or your iPhone. As well as the videos are going to be getting updated as well, and that includes the main site and TurboMedic also, okay? And, of course, the general knowledge exams and the national registry-based exams are also getting updated the same way. So this is all going on over the next, I'm going to say, few weeks. So you're going to be seeing some changes in the sites if you remember. And you see some of those exams, one might look a little bit different than the other as I'm transitioning, from one software product to another, okay? So a lot of data entry going on. I'm outsourcing a lot of it to get it done as fast as I can, all right? So just a quick update on that. What else can I tell you guys before I bug out of here for the Sunday? That's about it, I guess, guys. Listen, I wanted to bring this topic to light because I've been in this situation. You know, I've been a paramedic for over 20 years, right? I've been in this situation before where you get someone who's terminally ill, they're dead. You get that DNR, you get that person who says they have a DNR, they can't produce the DNR. You know, I've been in that situation before. I've had to call telemetry and talk to the doc and sell it with the doc, you know. You get the patient who's got that upper GI bleed, right? They're dead, and there's just nothing but you know, blood coming out, right? You know you're not going to bring this patient back. So I've always called the doc. On my end, I've always called telemetry and got their approval before I withheld CPR, okay? To me, that's a takeaway on this. You know, if you get in a situation like this or a similar situation like this and you and your partner don't want to make that decision because, again, you can come back to bite you in the ass like it did to these two medics, right? Give telemetry a call. If they say work it, then you got to work it, you know? You apologize to the family, you explain to the family your situation, and you do what you have to do, you know? But by withholding it and then falsifying the documents, you open up two cans of worms on both ends of the table. You're not getting those worms back in the can. It's not happening, you know. If you would just had the one can, but you didn't do it, you didn't do CPR, you know, that's a different story, you know. But again, the way around this whole thing would have been to take that extra few minutes, get a form for your call, talk to the doc. Again, if the doc might have said, go ahead and work it. And if you did, what's the worst case scenario? 71, terminally ill, you're probably not going to get pulses back, right? You're going to work them on scene, 20 minutes, you know, epi or whatever, and, you know, pronounce the guy, right? So that would have been the better path that they should have taken. It's unfortunate they didn't, because now they got this investigation going. I hope they don't lose their jobs over it, because to me, I feel that they were acting on a compassionate level, that they had nothing to gain from withholding CPR, you know. And, you know, and in the end, I hope they're not going to lose their jobs over this, and they'll get reinstated and, you know, maybe get some retraining on it. So that's my hope for these guys anyway. So, well, listen, sorry we didn't get any calls on this show. I was hoping to get one or two. I know I only started putting this out there about 12 o'clock today, so it was only maybe an hour or so for people to really get on board and to, you know, join me on the show. So I'm sorry, I think you guys more time. I kind of came across this kind of last minute, and I wanted to just put it out there. So hopefully maybe next time we'll get some more callers. We'll have my co-host Josh and Josh Knapp from Wattnew.com and David Brenner with us. And, you know, we'll have a more interactive conversation instead of just me yammering for 20 minutes. So that's it, guys. I'm going to end it there. If you listen to this show after the live event, love to hear your comments. Be sure to put them in the notes below, show notes below in the blog here. Okay. Let me know what you think about this topic. Or if you have a topic of your own you want to go ahead and hear us talk about here at EMS Office Hours, be sure to let me know. You can put it in the show notes, the topic you want to hear about, or you can also email it to me. The email for the show is contact@emsofficehours.com. Again, follow us on Twitter. It's at EMS Safe. Hook us up over on Facebook. It's facebook.com/EMS Office Hours. I'm Jim Hoffman. Love doing the show, even though I did it solo today. Did enjoy it. I think this is kind of a good topic and one of those gray areas we encounter quite frequently in EMS, guys. Until next week, as always, listen, this is Jim Hoffman, EMS Office Hours. Stay safe.